You are listening to the audio production of Hidden Potential, Revealing What God Can Do Through You by Wendy Pope, published by David C. Cook. This book is read by Sarah Zimmerman. Introduction. If you could change anything about you, what would it be? I'm sure my list would be completely different from yours, or maybe you look at me and assume I don't have a list. Oh, I have two, one from child me and one from current me. The child me wanted blonde hair, and yes, because it seemed like they had more fun and were more popular. Child me wanted blue eyes to go with the blonde hair. I wanted my jeans to be Gloria Vanderbilt or Jordache, and my shirts to have an alligator, not a ladybug pretending to be an alligator. Oh, and to be smart, you know, on the AB honor roll. These things seem silly now that I'm grown, but grown women have lists too. Current me wants to be 20 pounds lighter and have wrinkles only in clothes. I'd love to know what she knows about the Bible, whoever she is, and it would be fantabulous if my house could stay clean like hers. This ideal she is further along in ministry than I, and I started before her. Current me still has so much work to do. That's what we do, isn't it? We habitually compare our insides, how we feel about ourselves, to another's outside, how they look, to determine our value and sum up our potential, appearance, accomplishments, and assets. We look at other girls and think, she has the beauty and talent of singer Whitney Houston, the success of J.K. Rowling, and the influence of Marley Matlin. I'm sure she doesn't hear the echo of negative and condemning thoughts in the empty places of her heart. There's no way she wrestles with the weight of fears, faults, failures, and frailties. She doesn't have any. Out in the world, we have to prove our abilities, demonstrate our intellect, and establish our authority in order to show we are useful and worthwhile. But what about in a safe, supposedly judgment-free zone, like inside the walls of the church? Do we think we have to prove ourselves there, too? Do we make assumptions about someone's worth based on what they do or how they look? Without pause, yes, yes, we do. We look at her outside, appearance, accomplishments, and other assets, and assume her faith is just as strong. She has every question completed in her Bible study. Her responses in small group are always deep and profound. Her house is immaculate, and those children, well, they never misbehave. What doesn't she do? Everything turns out right for her. There is no way she struggles with her faith. She's on the short list for sainthood. I'm sure her past is as clean as the Colorado snow on a winter day. May I ask you to honestly answer a few questions? Not necessarily out loud, or even on paper where someone might see your answers, but just for yourself. Do I allow the echo of fears and faults to silence God's voice? Do I dwell on failures and let them determine my direction? Do I worry that my frailties disqualify me from doing any good work for God? If you answered yes to just one of those questions, then your faith, my friend, is wounded, fractured, splintered, ruptured, no longer in its original design, or even what it once was before life happened to you. The original design of our faith is to be Christ-centered, Spirit-led, and Word-fed. Somehow, you, like so many of us, have gotten off track. When we first come to learn about Jesus and his love for us, we have every intention to stay in that love. Once you know what it feels like to be loved just for who you are and just as you are, why would anyone want to move away from that? We want to learn more about the God who saved us. We may even see ourselves serving him all our lives. But then, often without warning, an accusing memory targets our belief that God can really wash away our sin and make us new. An old or new fear consumes our spirit and devours our courage. Our frailty shouts louder than truth, and the portfolio of our faults overwhelms our sense of purpose.